This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Thank you, man. That's 41 years of marriage that brought that out. Thank you, Kisha. I heard that. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will find new things today that maybe we experienced yesterday. Waking up, getting out of bed, showering, shaving, whatever. I didn't shave, but whatever. But find new ways to make today exciting. Why? Because this is the day which the Lord has made and given us. We will and we should, and let's rejoice and be glad in it today. Joshua chapter 5, turn to the very end of that chapter. The very end, we're going to read the last couple verses in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. And it says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He wants to know, are you with me or against me? Verse 14, "So he said, No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, What does my Lord say to his servant?" He did not get a direct response whether he was for him or against him. He said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Joshua recognized this and fell on his face and worshipped him. And he says, "What does my Lord say to his servant? Give me instruction, Lord." Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot." Take your sandal off your foot. "For the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. We could do a whole message over that. But I'm not going to. I'm going to read the entire chapter 6 to you today. Oh, that should be fun. I know that story, Adam. It's about the walls of Jericho. Been hearing about it since VBS when I was a kid. And the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. Wow, we're all marching around. Adam, it's an old story, but I want it to have a new revelation today to each one here. The man was ready for battle. Are you for us or against us? Joshua, not sure which side this guy was on, and he thought he might give him instruction when he said, "Hey, no." He said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And he said, "What do you have for me? Tell me, what do you want me to do?" There was no instruction except to answer him and say, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, with Moses, verse 4. "So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." These people are coming face to face with something powerful. And that something powerful says, "Take your sandal off, because this place is holy ground." Sounds simple enough, Adam. Let me ask you a question. Anybody facing a battle today? Go ahead, raise your hand if you're facing a battle of any size, any shape, any kind. We face battles every day. we face a battle in here today. Boy, the enemy would love. Oh, I see daylight at the bottom of that door. The enemy would love to squeeze in that crack. Well, a little daylight there. The enemy looks for every crack. And some of us are those open cracks. He looks for us so he can come in and infiltrate us. This is our battleground. Your car is your battleground. Your home is your battleground. And it's time to turn our battleground into holy ground. And we have to be ready to fight. A couple weeks ago I said, what are you fighting for? Fight for your faith. Today we'll look at a couple different things. Every battle should begin with praise and worship. Hey, each Sunday morning, do we start this with praise and worship? We pray before we practice. We pray before we sing. We pray. But then we have the opportunity to praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures below. Praise Him. Praise Him before we get started. It's a great opportunity. But Adam, I don't feel like praising. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't feel like rejoicing today, Adam. I don't feel like being glad in it today. Because you don't know what I face. No, I don't. But He does. And He is with you. And He is for you. I better stay on track here. Every battle should begin with praise. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now let's stop there for a minute. If God revealed to us, this is what I want you to do. Okay, one time for 6 days, 7th day, 7 times. Got to be a little quicker if we just did it all today. So let's just march 7 times today, and then we have 6 days to rest. You see, we find ways to do that. Say, let's alter His plan. He's given us His plan. He's revealed to us His plan. And we say, God, I think I know better. I can save time. I can certainly save effort. You know how exhausting that marching is around the walls? My gosh, you know how big that city is? We got to go around there once. Let's just do it now and get it over with. But let's start tomorrow so I can get rested. And we start putting our own plan into place. But God says, this is what needs to happen. Verse 6, then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And I thought, God, you've got this order for things. We have order, and then the armed guards came before this, then the priest, then the ark, then the following guys came behind them. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout." Oh, Lord, he's telling everyone to keep their mouth closed. But, Lord, I could have some insight in that time. "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout." God, if we start this beforehand, maybe we can work up some energy or something. No, not until I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. Verse 11, so he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and they lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And they did this for 6 days. Obedience. They did this for 6 days as they were commanded, with their mouths shut, not speaking, not shouting, and going in the order that God commanded. Verse 15, here's the familiar part of the story. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Verse 22, but Joshua had said to the 2 men who spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent out to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at the time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn and with his youngest, he shall set up its gates. But look at this very last part of chapter 6. So the Lord was with Joshua. It goes on to say, and his fame spread throughout all the country, but the part I want to focus on, so the Lord was with Joshua. Whew, man, that's a bunch. Okay, Adam, I know the story. They marched around 6 days one time, blowing their horns, all that stuff. Then on the seventh day, they did it seven times. They shouted when they blew the horns, and the walls came down. We know that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, man, it's not for me to question. All these. Yeah, great. We know the story. But we've got to get into praise before the battle. When Joshua took his sandals off and he was on holy ground and he fell on his face and worshiped, that's when the battle was won. Again, are we in a battle here? Absolutely. A battle to what? A battle to fill these seats. That's a battle every church has. Fill these seats. Well, here's the other battle. You guys are filling the seats. God, can we keep these people here? Now, if people move on to different churches, so be it. I get it. But when they leave here to go home and not do anything and not serve, and I serve in the kingdom. Veda, I'm so glad you said at my age, and I know you're only 43, but you said at my age, God said there's still work to be done. Brother Dwayne said there's much work to be done still. Dwayne's walking around in the streets of gold. But guess what he did? He left us with much work to be done. There's still much work to be done by each and every one of us. Fill every seat to keep them from becoming empty, to keep you and I from interfering with kingdom work. We can interfere with kingdom work. Sometimes with good intentions, sometimes with no intentions, no thought, we just interfere. But as we praise before the battle, that should be our go-to process. God, I've got this battle. Oh my gosh, let me see how you resolve it to know how to respond. No, that's what we do. But that should happen not just in church. That should happen in our home. That should happen in our workplace. Oh, listen carefully. That should happen in our recreation. Because the enemy looks for that recreation time, places, people, and stuff that we engage in. And it says, if I just hook them there. We've got to praise Him. Praise Him when we go into these places. Now the Lord gave Joshua instructions here. He said, here's the order. I want armed men to go first. And then I want the priest, 7 priests. I want them blowing trumpets. Then I want the Ark of the Covenant. And then I want the rest of the fighting people. The rest of the army. There is order to God's plan. But they followed God's plan even if it didn't make sense to them. Noah followed God's plan. Did that make sense? No rain clouds. What are you doing? He followed God's plan even when it didn't make sense. When we stand on holy ground, that's where we start. two things out of this story. Two things is what I want you to grasp that may be different, that may have a different revelation to you today. Stand on holy ground. Stand on holy ground, and that is your battleground. But you've got to turn it from battleground to holy ground. Ooh, I can go up to there, but right there, that's battleground right there. I'm not going, go in there, turn that thing into holy ground. And take your sandals off and worship Him there. When was the last time you took your sandals off? I said, God, I'm on holy ground right here. And number two, trust God's plan. Trust God's plan. I don't see His plan. He hasn't revealed it. Did He say trust Him? Yes. Okay, that's the beginning of His plan, to trust Him. He'll give you the rest of it. When we stand on holy ground, that's when and where we praise before the battle. God, my house is in disarray. My house is, and I'm using this as an example. My house is in disarray. Stand in there and turn that house into holy ground. Why? So that you can win the battle. God, my work is a mess. My work is a mess. Stand there. Make that battlefield your holy ground. God, when I go out and do this stuff, I'm just having a good time, but man, I'm having some battles out there. Make that your holy ground. It's time to kick off our sandals. Start fighting for what's important. What do we fight for? Well, we fight for our faith. And we do that through obedience. When we stand on holy ground, that's when and where we praise before the battle. And that is how we prepare for battle. Lord, I'm getting ready to face this stuff. Man, let me just praise You right here. I need to prepare. I need to get ready. I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I went to Las Vegas for work. But man, I prayed before I went, Lord, protect me. Put this hedge of protection all around me. Because it is Sin City. I pray for those things. When we trust God's plan, we stop worrying about the battle. And we focus on God. So many times we, you know, just get wringing our hands. Oh, Lord, we've got this battle. Oh, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to come out of it. And we're down there just walking around like this. He says, you're never going to see me. You're never going to see my victory looking there. Because I'm up here. And the victory's up here. And by the way, the battle's already won. The battle's already won. So what are we worrying about? Well, I just don't know if He's got this battle. Oh, yeah, he has everyone else's battle, but He left you out there just to float on the own so He can have one example. I don't think so. Wait on God and say, God, how are You going to resolve this? Because that's how I'll respond, God. He says, man, take off your sandals. Turn this into your holy ground. You see, this was battleground, but it's holy ground now. And every now and then we have to fall on our face. And we have to get on our knees. And we have to pray to Him. That familiar worship song, oh, praise You in the storm. And that's where the battle's won, in the storm. And remember, several months ago, I read the story about Jesus. He's out on the boat, and it's bouncing around. He's up there sleeping, and they're all upset. And He stood up, and He just declared and said, peace. And I said, church, we have to proclaim peace in the midst of our storm. We have to proclaim victory in the midst of our battles. And we do that by turning our battleground into holy ground. We do that by praising Him before we go into battle. we do that, as Veda said, by facing whatever we've been through, whatever we're going through, and saying, God, how can you use this to further your glory or your kingdom? The Bible tells us, man, use these things for His glory. And I came out unscathed, and I was just a miracle, and I'm just great. I came out unscathed because God pulled me through it. Always point it back to God. Don't boast on yourself. Boast in God and what He's done for you. Dale said, I can't tell you what is going to happen, but I can testify to what's happened to me. Those testimonies that tell people where we were and where we are. I used an example, and my wife said I could share this anytime if it helps somebody. We've been married 27 years, and all 27 have been glorious. Right, honey? She's lying back there. Okay, she said, uh-huh. But there have been struggles in those years. By the way, we started off our marriage not being in church. Whoo, praise God for church. But even so, the troubles didn't just go away because we were here. Woo! Was she just out there testifying? That's when it started. Part of it did, you know. But that's being honest. You said when we share those things, we shouldn't hide them. They're not things we're proud of, but they're things that we can say, hey, this will help you. And I used that with someone yesterday and said, I know you're going through some problems. Hang in there. You see, we just celebrated 27 years, and it wasn't all roses. Now, 26 and a half of the 27 were. No, they weren't. But anyway, I said, you've got to trust that God has you in His hands and that God is going to take you through this. You can't see the resolution here and now, but I promise you it's in the future. I said, thank you for that insight, because it's a struggle right now. We have to use our experiences to further God's kingdom. Derek, I promised I want to get a shirt that just says broken crayon still color. Man, I love that because that's so simple to grasp. I can take this, I can break it in half, and I can still be used. The broken nub of that thing can still be used and make beautiful artwork. He can use us. He will use us if we offer ourselves up and allow Him to. Oh, I got to open myself up. You don't have to open up every detail. But if there are things that help people, share it. Use it. Strengthen one another. Don't take offense to this rest of the church, but we have three young married couples in here. 1, 2, 3. And a couple young couples in here also. They need to know how we got through things. I'm sure all you guys think is just a bed of roses. No, you've all been married at least a month. You figured that out. Okay, so anyway, it can be, and it may be. And praise God if it is. But there's insights that we can share with them. There's insights that we can help you guys with. I see some heads nodding. I like that. We have to stop waiting on God's response to our battle before we praise Him. High school's kicked off, getting ready to kick off. College is kicked off, getting ready to kick off. And that means what season? Football season. Okay? We need to be like the football fans that I know most of us are. And what is that? Woo! Woo! We're cheering them on when they come out and smoke's blowing and all this stuff and they're running on the field. They haven't even snapped the ball and we are cheering on our team. And they've done nothing yet. Why? Because we have an expectation of victory. Amen? We need to have an expectation of victory, and we need to praise God before the battle even starts. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today. We just ask today that we focus on you before the battle begins. God, if we're in the midst of the battle, that we begin immediately by praising you. God, I pray today that those that are facing a battle, no matter how big or small, God, that we are looking to you. We are praising before we get into battle. That is our preparation to get ready for it. God, that we praise you. We praise you. God, secondly, that we follow your plan. God, we follow your plan even though we don't understand, even though it doesn't make sense, even though we think we have a better plan to get us there quicker. God, I pray today that the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho have a new revelation to us. God, a new revolution, a revelation to us. God, that we understand the need to praise you. God, we may need to take our sandals off today and declare this battleground is holy ground. We may need to fall on our face today and worship you now and give you glory and praise and honor. God, today we focus on you and not on our problems. Lifting our eyes up towards you. In Jesus' name, amen.